This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey guys, this is a episode of your favorite podcast, Lady Lovin'. If you haven't, if you can't tell, it's Jilly speaking, introducing the show today, which is lucky for you guys. So yeah, thanks so much for listening. As always, I'm joined by my favorite two humans in the Soho area, also in the New York City area, and probably the world area, Greta Teitelman and Miss Lauren Bosworth.
Hi.
Hello.
And it's like a sunny day in New York City.
It's actually, by the time you're listening, it could be the post-apocalypse.
Yeah. True.
Well, it will be post-apocalypse.
It's a sunny day, the day that we're recording, which is the day before the inauguration. So we're trying to, we're thinking positive and we are enjoying the day.
Yes, we are. We're eating arepas right now.
Yeah, we're eating arepas. We're also, this is exciting. I'm sure that our listeners have noticed, but now we are on a new network, which we're very excited about.
Yeah, we like our network.
We're super stoked about it. And we're recording out of their studio today.
It feels so professional. Let me tell you, let me just break it down for you. I'm sitting here facing this lovely gentleman named Nick, and then Greta and Lauren are eating arepas. And the chairs
far away from the microphone, yeah. So our precious listeners don't hear me chewing.
Yeah. And there's a yellow chair that my boots are resting on, and I feel so comfortable. And the temperature in the room is like a warm temperature that feels like you could go to sleep or get a massage.
I was going
to
say, it feels like a sleepy temp.
But it doesn't feel like you're not sweating. You know what I mean?
This was like the temperature of my U.S. history class in high school, and I would always fall asleep in it.
I think it's like the temperature of the womb. I wouldn't know, but I think that it is kind of like that.
Probably like 98 degrees.
Yeah. No, 98 degrees would be sweating our balls off.
Yeah, the babies would be too hot in there.
The body is 98 degrees, so that's probably the temperature of the womb.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm, that makes sense.
Oh, okay, yeah. Low. So,
trust me, I'm a scientist.
It's just the three of us.
Yeah,
today.
And, you know, we're going to talk about women's rights, female empowerment.
We're also going to talk about an issue that I'm dealing
with. An issue that Greta's dealing with. We'll talk about two. Greta and I both had two issues happen to us. I had a really weird date that I would like to talk to you guys about. And Greta had an ex-boyfriend that got engaged.
Yeah. Jilly, why don't you talk about the date first?
Okay, I'll talk about the date that I went on. All right, listeners. I went on this date with this guy that I met on a dating app called Happn.
Can you explain what happens on Happn?
Happn is a dating app where when you're walking or when you're somewhere, someone else is...
Somewhere, like anywhere. Like if you're at the gym or if you even walk down the street or if you go to a coffee shop, you can literally be anywhere. You could be at the library. You could be at the airport. You could be anywhere.
And the gentleman and I happened to cross paths somewhere in the Soho area.
You happened.
Yeah. And we matched. We chatted. He sent me a message saying, I'd really like to get to know you. And I was like, wow, what a nice message. So I agreed to go out with
him. So polite.
Yeah, I know. Little did I know. So I agree to go out with him, and then he shows up at the date 15 minutes late, which is a really negative thing for me because...
That's number one. 15 yeah. minutes late? Are you kidding me?
Did he let you know that he was running late?
Or no, did he just I had to text late? Him at 8:10 and be like, at the bar.
I would have assumed at that... I would have assumed that I was being stood up. Yeah, 15 minutes late?
I kind of wanted to be stood up just because like it would have been better than the date. But whatever. So
I would have left. If you're 15 minutes late, I would have been fucking pissed.
My problem with being late is like that just is that shows the other person that you don't respect their time. You know what I mean? Like I'm a busy working woman.
My time
is
money,
honey. Like I can't just be like plan like 15 minutes. I could be doing like squats.
Jilly, you should have a late fee on your dates. You should say if you're 15 minutes late, you got to pay me.
You got to donate $15 to Planned Parenthood. I'm just kidding.
I like that.
Okay, so he then proceeds to come in and go, and he's like, oh, yeah, like, I Googled you. But this man is 40, by the way. He's like, I Googled you, and the first thing that came up is your podcast. So I turned on your podcast and listened to it for 5 minutes and then had to turn it off because I'm not a 14-year-old girl.
Cool. Ew.
And I said, well, I'm not a 14-year-old girl either.
Also, sorry, man. This isn't for you. Not everything is for you.
And then also, he goes, I hated it, but I could see how some people would like it.
Yo, what is he? Right? What a fucking dick.
And this is where...
Just like, if you hated it, I have an idea. If you hated it, pretend like you never listened to it. You know what I mean? Like, if I were to go on a date with someone... First of all, if I were to go on a date with someone and if I found out that what they were doing was whack, like, if I thought it was really whack, I wouldn't want to go on a date with them anymore.
I know.
And then if I... If I saw what they were doing and I didn't really care, then I just wouldn't bring it up. You know, yeah. I wouldn't bring it up because that's fucking rude.
So then at this point is like where I was like a little upset at myself because I should have left. You know, if someone's talking to you like that, really what you should do is just leave. But of course I was like, oh, like I can prove that I'm worth it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I stayed longer and the date just proceeded to get like worse and worse. He kept putting me down throughout the whole entire process.
What was
it just
saying?
Like, I'm trying to think. I think I blacked it out of my mind, but he just kept on. Oh yeah, so then he was like talking about my DJing and he's like oh yeah, I saw that you're a DJ too, like I thought you were gonna be covered in tattoos but you're actually refined and just like weird
this
shit.
This guy sounds like,
you know
a
what I mean, just
little
stuff like that.
This is why he's 40 plus and single.
Oh, and then, okay, now all the things are coming back to me. Then,
you should send him this episode.
Right? And then he goes...
Wink face.
You know when you're like on a date and you're discussing different topics and so some of them require you to like pull out your phone to take a note or to look something up online? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So he pulls out his phone and he goes, watch, there's going to be porn on here. And then I like... And I'm like...
Julie, I feel like you're actually describing... This guy's a murderer.
So then he like, I look at his phone and there's like an ass, you know what I mean? So it's like, clearly that's porn, like a naked ass. And I was like, and it's like, listen, like I have nothing against porn, you know, whatevs. But like, it was sort of like he knew that was going to happen and he wanted to like play that role. You know what I mean? It's like, you can't be like, watch, there's going to be porn on here. And then there is.
That's so
inappropriate. It was like a setup. It was kind of like he read like how to go on a date or how to be a douchebag on a date and like just follow these steps.
It sounds like the whole thing was a setup.
I know. And then at the very end, he starts then asking me, oh yeah. And then he starts talking to me about like religion, you know, and he was like, you know, he's like, I'm an atheist, but like, I love Judaism. And I was like, I'm not going to have a religious talk with you right now. Like, I don't even know you. Like, I don't need to defend like my religious stance with you right now. He wanted to argue about that. And then at the end of the date, he proceeds to go, so what kind of television are you watching? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I just watched The Crown on Netflix. And he was like, oh, so like, do you want to come over and watch a show with me?
So he wanted to Netflix and chill, aka he wanted to fuck.
Yeah.
He wanted like, to pound you.
I love that this guy has the false confidence to think that he could be such a dick and that you'd want to fuck afterward. Like, I'll tell you what made me decide to not even kiss you was you telling me that my podcast sucked.
I know. And then when I said, no, I'm going to go home, he was like, oh no, I totally understand. Like, I wouldn't go home with a stranger either.
I think that a lot of people...
And I was like, I can't even handle you.
I think a lot of people, maybe not necessarily on the first date, that is like so bizarre, but it can be, I don't know, people can like put... It's like kind of a power play to like put somebody down. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And
they think that maybe they'll get, you know, I don't know, the person will.
It'll be like a playful like tit for tat.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. But truthfully, like for me,
it's so weird though.
I've dated a lot of guys who've put me down and I've like, you know, kind of gone with it. And it's a pattern that I really want to change. And, you know, luckily, like I didn't go home with that guy and I saw all of these signs, but like I would love to get to the place where I could just leave after the first comment. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, but also at the same time, that's hard too, because you also aren't raised to be a dick. So like,
yeah,
even going there and having that guy say that shit to you, you still want to be like, I'm leaving. You know, that's
yeah,
how
like,
you
I'm
would
not
do
like
either.
A drama type of person. I'm just sort of like, if someone's rude, I'm like, okay, I don't want to deal with you. But like, you know what I mean? I don't cause a scene or anything. But, like, really, guys, if you went on a date like that, I would just recommend leaving because I did not have fun. And now I deleted that dating app. And I'm only using Bumble moving forward.
It's, like, verbally abusive what you went through on this date. Yeah. Honestly.
Where were you guys?
Why
do
you have to put up with that?
Oh, we went to Gato, this Mexican restaurant. Oh, yeah.
That's the red flag right there. Anybody taking me to a Bobby Flay restaurant in New York City, I'm done. You know what I'm saying? That's it.
There were honestly, many tourists when I went there last.
I went on a date at Gato once before. And like,
wait, that's so close to his apartment. He was totally trying to get you to Pound Town.
Listen.
Should we tell everyone where he lives so they can teepee his house?
Real quick. I think my problem with dating apps guys are... It's like, I wish right away someone would be like, I just want to fuck. You know what I mean? Because I am not.
Do you though? Because that almost sounds like just as bad as some guy being like, your podcast is for 14-year-olds.
I'd rather have someone be straight up with me than me like,
I don't know.
Like, I'm looking for a relationship and I'm meeting.
That sounds like Tinder nightmares. Like, hey girl, I just want to eat your vagina.
Well, I didn't say that.
From across town.
I didn't say those words. I said more like, I want to hook up.
Do you think that's the worst date you've ever been on in your life?
No.
What? What's the worst date you've ever been on in your
life?
That
sounds bad to me, Jillian.
Well, it wasn't even a real date, but this guy was supposed to meet me somewhere, and then he responded, I got too drunk and forgot after texting me.
But that's not a date. That's not a no-show.
True. I would say that made me feel worse. This didn't make me feel bad. It just was sort of like, I really am not looking for that. You know what I mean?
I went on a date once where I couldn't remember if I had like already met and or slept with the guy.
I've never had that problem.
I was like, the whole time in my mind, I was like, you're so familiar. I was like, you look so familiar. Don't you hate that? Not when you go on dates and you can't remember if you've met and or slept with a guy. But also, I was at a party recently, and this guy that looked kind of familiar, but he was really short, so I would never have slept with him. He kind of kept like looking at me with like a half smile, but also felt really awkward. And I finally just was like, hi. And I can't remember if I did something with him? Either.
See, my thing is that there's only one person whose facial features I wouldn't 100% be able to recognize. But other than that, I can definitely tell everyone I've ever made out with.
Really? I can't.
I can't.
I can maybe tell you 20%. I mean, I truly texted this guy who I was friends with in college. I texted him maybe like a year ago, and I was like, "Hey, did we have sex?
Why? You just wanted to know?"
I can't remember anymore.
Yeah, I couldn't remember. I couldn't
From
remember
so
if
long
we had
ago,
had sex
15 if, years ago. Like, I don't know.
I couldn't remember if we had sex or if we just fooled around or what it was. I mean, I knew we had done something, but I wasn't sure.
You just wanted to know for like, you know, your
I
book.
I wanted to clarify just for kidding. Myself.
For your book of all the men that you've dated?
Yes, Jillian.
That you keep in your drawer next to your bed?
No, that I'm actively writing.
Get it, girl. Can't wait to read that. All right, so now let's talk about Greta's issue.
Can we talk about this book for a second?
Yeah, what's
that? We talk about this book.
So
let's talk about your issue.
Is each man going to be like a short story or like a chapter?
I've been writing short stories of like the worst experiences I've ever had.
All sexual?
It started off as being like a sexual thing, but it turns out that like the actual sex component of the story is like the best part. So the worst part is like everything leading up to it.
So they're all not sexy time stories.
Most of them are grounded in a sexual adventure.
Cool.
I would say that usually the sexual stuff is always the best, and it's just how you're treated that's always the worst in those types of stories.
I'm so sorry that this happened to you on this date, Jill.
It's okay, Lo. I still have hope that one day I will meet someone.
I just...
Normal.
I want to like, troll this guy on the internet.
No.
I've never done that before, but listen. I'm feeling inspired.
I want to
date one. Maybe I'll inspire him to be nicer.
Well, hopefully he listens to this episode.
You know he's going to, because it's always those guys that are lurks. Remember the very first episode we ever recorded? It was with that guy who was cheating on his girlfriend the whole time. And then he, like, listened to the episode.
True,
even though he like, told me that we could never...
You.
I know, but he was like, we can never speak again. Get out of my life. And then he listened to the episode, and then he texted me. And I was like, you're a fucking thirsty-ass, desperate
Wait,
hoe.
Who? What? Remember, on our podcast?
The Juice Man. Guy.
He was on the podcast?
No. The first episode, we talked about being with someone that's a cheater. And he told me, he was like... never contact me, never talk to me, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, dude, I'm never going to contact you. And then he hit me up being like, He actually hit me up. Be like, juice guy, really? And I was like, you're thirsty.
Listen, if you work at a place that sells juice, you're getting the nickname juice guy.
I just think it's like, so stupid.
Maybe what else are we supposed to call you?
Juice man?
I just don't like it when guys have any opinion about our podcast. Because quite frankly, it's called Lady Lovin'. It's not called Lady and Straight White Guys That Have Opinions on Everything Lovin'.
My boyfriend likes our podcast.
And I love your boyfriend. And my boyfriend likes our podcast too.
And I love your boyfriend, Greta.
Yeah, but I'm so saying other dudes that don't fuck with it. I'm like, yeah, it's not for you. True. You know what I mean?
I know, but I'm happy that we're having this discussion today because I think we've gotten a lot of really great emails from our listeners saying that they've had some, like, you know, difficulties in their life, you know, talking about like sex and relationships and that while trying to maintain that sort of like business entrepreneurial outlook on life or appearance in the world. And so I think that it's nice because I do think that while all three of us are entrepreneurs, we're also like, you know, able to talk about dating and relationships and that in like a silly way because we all have to go through that bullshit, you know?
Yes. Well, we got an interesting email from a listener that kind of sparked this conversation. And I think it's well-timed because of the inauguration and the election itself has brought up so many issues for women. You know, I think just kind of equality across the board. And she is training to be a therapist, right? A psychotherapist? She's a scientist of some kind.
Yes. She's getting her PhD.
Yeah. She was like talking about science stuff, words that I didn't really understand. She's probably listening to this episode right now being like, oh my God. Anyway, and she was in her email was talking to us about how, you know, in her community, which is sort of like academia, she can't really like wear makeup or talk about dating or things that are, I don't know, traditionally for maybe what your date thought of as for 14-year-old girls. I don't know.
Exactly.
And then she's found some really great people in her graduate degree program that, you know, do talk about these things, you know.
I think that
but that they're also really smart. And she says she struggles to kind of fit into one space or one community because, you know, she's really highly educated and at the same time she like loves lipstick. And so why can't she be both? And I think it was just a well-timed and interesting.
It was a beautiful email. I really appreciated it.
Yeah, same. And I think that hopefully with our podcast, we're trying to break that mold to some degree. I know that we come on here and most of the time we talk about fun topics and guys and our buttholes and things like that. But, you know.
I talk about my butthole all the time.
I said buttholes because Greta does talk about her anus from time to time.
I do. And I'll update you guys on my butt later.
But, you know, we also have brilliant people on, you know, fabulous guests. And I really love and respect and admire Jillian, Greta also because I know how smart they are and how accomplished they are. And so I think that in the post-apocalyptic age of 2017, it's a really important time for women to stand up and to be all the things that they want to be. And I think
and to talk about
that's
all
an important
stuff.
Message to put out into the world, you know.
Exactly.
I've never been hugely because of the way my mom raised me. I feel like I was so fortunate to be raised to just like to talk and to like have an open dialogue and to speak
voice.
Your mind and to say what you're thinking and to not be ashamed. And, you know, the only way that you can break these like molds for what society thinks you're supposed to be and thinks you're supposed to be doing or how you should look, blah, 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 is just by doing it and to not being scared and to like have the courage. If you want to be a fucking rocket scientist and have your tits out with bright red lipstick on, do it. That sounds really hot.
I agree.
Definitely. And it's cool. Also like if you know, you should never feel bad because I get into this place where I'll go out with someone like the past guy or I'll go through a breakup or something. And then I, you know, question everything that I am. You know what I mean? Everything that I'm doing, all the stuff that I'm putting out there. Like, you know, should I not be promoting my podcast because like men don't want to go out with me? You know what I mean? And it's like clearly that's not a, you know, accurate thought in my mind, but it's sort of like that's a question, you know? And it's like, fuck that. Don't even think that way.
Yeah. I agree.
I agree too. It's hard sometimes. I struggle with, like, I love to share. I love sharing and I love talking and I love talking about this shit that's like happened to me and being explicit and talking about my butt or talking about my childhood or my parents' divorce, like shit like that. I love talking about it. But then sometimes afterward, I'll like shudder and I'll be like, oh, like, did I share too much? Like, did I need to do that? Like, did I need to say that? Like, then I realized
the overshare.
Yeah. Or like, you know,
hey, we get emails when we overshare.
I know, but I don't believe in, I don't know. I don't, oversharing is weird, right? Because if something happened to you and you want to speak about it, then you're just speaking about your experiences and they're your own. So you can talk about them, but it's just like, you never want to do it in a way that is disrespectful to the experience. You know what I mean? I would never want to talk about something that's happened to me in a way that isn't, I don't know how to explain what I'm trying to say. Sometimes I get anxious though, sharing a lot.
Yeah.
Cause I share all the time. All that I do is share in comedy, on this show,
in my life. For sure. I'm mostly get afraid of sharing in terms of when it comes to like men stuff. Cause I'm always like, oh, if I put this out here, will like anyone love me?
No. Like opening up to guys or no, like talking like about things on our podcast
stuff in my career and that sort of thing. Mm.
Well, but I think it's because
I've been dating the wrong guys. Like the last two guys I dated both said to me like they were intimidated by me.
You can't do things you're pretty because scary of guys. Like, period. For sure. They shouldn't factor into anything that you decide to do for yourself.
I'm learning that later in life, guys. Thanks to Lauren and Greta and the podcast listeners.
Yeah.
I don't know. Bad dates.
Greta, I agree with you, but now I'm at a point in my relationship where I do consider what my boyfriend, you know, thinks.
Sure, because you're in a relationship. But like,
right, I
but
guess
like not doing things because
person,
you're scared some guy isn't going to like you for them. Find the guy that likes you for them.
Exactly. That's the thing that I struggle with is sometimes I hold back because I'm afraid of like, you know, what someone's going to think. And it's
nebulous
never really
man.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's like, but then you have experiences and you realize like, okay, that's like a bullshit person that I don't even want to be with anyway, you know?
Correct.
But it's
you
definitely
should want to
a scary
be with somebody.
Thought.
Yeah, you should want to be with somebody that supports you completely and thinks it's rad that you're on a podcast and that you have a funny Instagram and, you know,
or
that they don't care,
nothing.
Or that they don't care,
yeah,
you know, like, cool, do you, more power to you.
Really, exactly. You should just be with someone that likes you for you and doesn't give a fuck about the internet.
Yeah, I'd love to find that person.
They exist.
They exist.
Craigslist, right?
No.
They absolutely exist.
What I want to talk about now is Greta's week.
Oh, my experience.
Yes.
Which predominantly has to do with the internet, which is like really dumb and stupid.
Look
but
at that.
No, it's not dumb and stupid if you feel.
No, it's just, you know, so my ex-boyfriend got engaged, which didn't, I'm not one to care about marriage. Like, I'm really not. I don't talk about that. I don't know. I've never been the kind of person to think about it, worry about it. That's just not me.
Mm-hmm.
And I really didn't think that I would be affected at all by my ex-boyfriend getting engaged, and then he got engaged and it made me feel so weird. And this ex-boyfriend, listen, I have like, I feel like dating me is like the SAT to like get into college, because every guy that I've dated, literally they're all married and have kids. It's crazy. Except now the one that's getting married, he's my most recent ex-boyfriend, and he like we lived together and all this stuff, and now he's, you know, engaged. And it just made me feel really weird. It was the first time I've ever felt really weird about it.
Yeah, I think it can make you feel really weird. I don't think that that is an abnormal experience at all. I have an ex from years ago, you know, a serious boyfriend that I had when I lived in LA, and he's married and now he has a baby. And it's bizarre to me because at one point when I was much younger, you know, the thought crossed our minds in that relationship, like, maybe we should get married, you know what I mean? And so to have it happen sort of like in a vacuum with this other person is always really an odd feeling. It doesn't like give me remorse. I don't want this person back. In fact, I'm really happy for him because he's a great guy. But I don't know. It's like I feel more about maybe the woman than about him.
I don't. It's so strange because I've never had that feeling. Like I literally every time I see like someone that I was with get engaged or married, I just like I don't have a positive or negative feeling. It's just like I don't really care.
I don't know. I guess for me, the weird part is you develop a closeness with like their family and their friends. And when I met my ex-boyfriend's family, his mom was very quick to be like, I know you guys are going to be together. I know that you're this person that, I mean, it was also kind of like insane that she was very explicit about me being like his person.
Yeah.
And then we also went through a point where, like, I thought that this was my person. And then I think it's just not being that person and then seeing all of these, those people that were telling you, like, oh, yeah, you guys are meant to be together forever. Oh, you're perfect for each other.
Embrace
the new one. And then I'm like, oh, well, what? What just happened?
Yeah. But that's life, man. It's like you're not interested. Someone else is stepping up to the plate, and it's going to keep going.
I debated for a while whether or not I was going to say anything because we do have a ton of mutual friends.
Yeah. Like, congratulations.
And I was like, do I say something? Do I not? I know he knows that I know.
Maybe you can congratulate him right here, and then you'll never have to actually
do it directly. I sent him a text message.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Did he respond?
He did.
What did he say?
Did he say, fuck you, Greta?
No. He said,
Get out of my life, Greta.
I mean, honestly. I sent him a text message that just said, hey, I heard the news of your engagement. I just wanted to wish you guys, like, a lot of love and happiness in the future.
That's really nice.
And he wrote back to me. But the thing is, like, I think that I, like, fucked with him by sending him that message. Because he saw it, and then I saw him start to type, and then it went away. And then he didn't write back to me for, like, 6 hours. And all that he wrote back to me was, thank you, Greta! ! With a heart.
That's lovely, though. I like that. It was just like, okay, thanks, bye.
Yeah, me too. I mean, there was nothing else for him to say at all. It's just... You know, because I know I'm going to see him. I know I'm going to run into them eventually.
You know what's weird to me is when an ex gets engaged or married and then they want to be your friend and contact you after hang out. I'm like, we're not going to hang out. Like, you're married and like I'm not that they are interested in like doing anything with me. But like you, me and your wife are like not going to get like, you know, almond croissants. Like, that's not happening.
Exes, period, reaching out and trying to be friendly. I am not about that. It makes me so severely uncomfortable. And
same.
I have been ignoring all of my exes or people that I've, you know, gone out with for so long now that they pretty much, they don't really hit me up anymore. But every once in a while, like, I'll get like a random message from outer space or, you know, like a random like on Instagram or something.
I don't know.
I don't know what that's about.
I disagree. I think that you can be friends. Like, I dated this guy when I was... From when I was like 19 to 21, on and off, and he and I are like really good friends, and his wife is great, and they have a baby, and
but like what does this ongoing friendship, like, how does it contribute to your life?
Well, to be honest, it's not really an ongoing friendship. Like, we're not like hitting each other up ever. It's mostly just like if we run into each other, it's like very nice, and we'll like catch up and say hi.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah, I would if I physically bump into somebody that I've dated, like, of course I'll stop and say hello. But yeah, I don't think that all of this communicating over the phone, over text, over social media,
I agree. I think that's weird.
Is appropriate at all. And I think if an ex is like keeps trying to like reach out, like they just still want to
bang
you.
Yeah.
They're just trying to see if they can.
And the other thing too is like relationships that end when you're in like teenagers or early 20s, they're like less stakes than when you end something when you're older and there's the possibility of marriage. Yeah. And that's when I feel like you really shouldn't be in contact with an ex.
For sure. I think it's totally inappropriate. I think that I feel like it's just like so disrespectful to like your current partner and relationship. Yeah. I think it's okay to have a conversation with somebody who keeps reaching out to you and say like, hey, I'm in this new relationship and like, you know, I enjoy the time that we spent together and I think that you're great, but like I can't really like continue to like maintain friendship with you. Not a friendship, but like I can't talk to you all the time. Honestly, like I just somebody else's name popping up on your phone all the time, it like puts your head in the wrong place. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it keeps, it just leaves the door open to other possibilities constantly if you welcome that attention. And I think that if you're in a new relationship and you're really respectful of that person and you want it to work and see where it goes, you absolutely can't talk to other people, because if the doors open even one inch, then at some point you allow the possibility for it to be blown open, and yeah, that's when you find yourself in a really bad situation.
Yeah,
you know,
I do.
I'm just not about
it. Great advice, Lauren. Great advice.
Thanks.
I think that it is now that our sponsors would like to tell you guys something.
Oh yeah,
and that's really cool.
I think that it's the time now, right?
Yes,
it's the time. Time.
It's a minute where you guys are going to learn something about something we like,
and then we'll be right. And now we are back. And we are back on Lowe's Excellent Point.
Yeah, she had a really good point. If you want to rewind too and listen again.
I have one more point that I want to make. Imagine that you are the ex, right? Because as girls, we can be exes and we can hit up our exes. And think of your motivation. Like, why are you reaching out and talking to that person?
My motivation is always evil.
Same.
Unless mine is not. Mine is always like, I'm interested in you. Love me.
Well, I mean, that's what I mean, though.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
How is that evil?
No, I mean, my
it's just never like,
it's never like, hey, I'm,
it's
actually
never neutral.
Yeah.
Mine's never like, hey, I just watched this football game and I thought of you and wanted to say hi.
Mine is like, the thing is, if I wanted to just be casually hitting someone up, I'd be hitting you guys up. That's, do you true. Know?
Correct. It's not like you want to just like grab a coffee with,
like, you shouldn't, you know, have an array bro, because
it's 3 p.m. and you know you want to get out of your house for,
yeah,
an hour.
It's always like you hit them up if you want like excitement, you know. Correct. I find myself hitting, well, not anymore, but when I was single, I would just like hit up old lovers or flames just like for fun.
Same.
Just for excitement.
I same delete numbers, unfollow, unfriend. I just am like,
that's,
I gotta,
that's strong.
I gotta walk away.
That's strong.
Lowe's boyfriend gave me some beautiful advice last night.
And what it is it?
Basically, just don't look back.
You can't.
He said it in like a, it was like a 5-minute conversation, but that was the summary.
That, he has this like wave notes metaphor.
Yeah.
That like if you're running into a wave, like everything that's behind you is like already behind you and it keeps moving, and like the only direction you can go is forward.
Yeah. And ooh, so I'm going to keep
that an arepa burp?
That's an arepa burp.
You guys are out of control over there.
My arepa really was good. Delicious.
Listen.
I think that, yeah, I don't follow my ex-boyfriend on Instagram, but you know I stay lurking. Just got to keep up on the streets.
But the thing other is, problem
you
got to
stop
faces
lurking. Yeah. I stopped lurking because, like, there's no point. Like, I'm not attracted to them. I don't want to hook up with them. I don't miss our relationship. You just lurk because...
And then you think about what your life would be like if you were that person.
See,
you
I don't
know?
Even do that. I don't even think that because I don't even want to be that person.
So what are you just doing? Trying to, like, see what color
I
hair
am
she
has? It's just curiosity of the mind. Lurking, you know? Curiosity killed the cat,
I guess. Yeah.
You're just interested, you know? I think that's... We're just built this way.
It's like when you go through your parents' shit and you know you're gonna find some stuff you don't want to see.
Ooh, like what?
Like,
I've never gone through my parents' stuff.
Really, you guys? I spent like a majority of my childhood just going through my really? Parents' shit all the time. Yes.
I guess like I don't want to know bad things. I don't like scary movies. I don't want to hear it bad.
Jill
news.
Doesn't even want to read the book in our book club.
I know.
Why?
We have this
that
book club, you guys.
Fun.
That maybe we'll share after we've all read this book. And the email Lo sends, she's like, this is a murder mystery.
It sounds gorgeous.
It's like,
I, this,
I don't
want to
be like in
it.
My bed reading and think that like someone's gonna stab me in like the throat.
See, I love that shit. I love murder mysteries. I love scary movies. I love bad news.
All right, well, let's tell you what the book is. The book is The Secret History by Donna Tartt. And Jillian literally texted me.
Mm-hmm, I did.
And said, I'm afraid to read
Jillian,
the book club.
The author's
book.
Name is Donna Tartt, okay? It's not going to be that scary.
People with it's not bland like a, names can do crazy things.
It's not like a horror.
in the email, let me just put some context. In this email, Lo's like, this is a murder mystery that's going to keep you on your toes. And it was like this whole, like, I literally thought it was like a description for like cereal.
I said, let me just read to you.
She said, maybe you will hate it.
So I said, blah, blah, blah. I'll handle most of the food. We'll chat about the book and hang. Sound good? Question mark. And then I put, so what is this masterful first piece of literature we'll be utterly engrossed in? Or not, LOL, question mark. The Secret History by Donna Tartt. In a nutshell, it's a murder mystery of sorts set in the late 1980s at an Ivy League.
All I'm thinking, guys.
How is that scary? That literally sounds like Gossip Girl.
All I'm thinking.
That's why I picked it.
Is that we're going to be imagining ourselves in a dorm room with like a beautiful song, and then someone's going to just get stabbed.
When have you been in a dorm room
lately?
It's
my turn.
I've been in a dorm room in 2004, Boston University Terriers. Shout out to all
Boston University Terriers.
There was that guy who went to NYU who's on the basketball team who stopped you on the street.
Oh, yeah, that guy sounded hot.
Cade.
Yeah, Cade.
Cade is cool. His name is like Cade Cadeson.
Here's the thing. When it's my turn.
Like, he sounds like a character in our book club book.
When it's my turn to choose the book for book club, I'm going to choose like a Stephen King novel, and then you'll really need to pop off.
Oh,
with
and then
some
I'll
horror.
Be like looking for a new book club.
No. I'm excited for a book club. I decided in December, I was like, I need to gather us. So now we have a book club.
I was in a book club with me and Anna Speckhart, who was on our show, and our friend Ashleya and my sister. But Ashleya and I ended up being the only one that read the book. And then we never met. So it was
you never talked about it.
No, it was a very failed. It was a very failed book club. But
I like the idea of a book club.
We have a decent amount of people in this.
It's like a 20-person book club.
I know, that's fun, right?
You guys, I have an idea. Why
everyone's
don't all
bring
of our
a
listeners?
Of wine. It's going to be great.
I have a feeling a lot of people aren't actually going to read it, and it's going to be like English class in high school, and people are going to spark notes this shit.
Why don't that's all of okay. our listeners read the book too? And then
and email us your thoughts.
Yeah. And then we can say, then we can just be like, talk about a main thing, a theme.
Okay.
Or not. That was just a side note.
Well, if you have read the book,
Donna Tartt novel, let us know.
Yeah, let us know. Let us know what you thought.
Or also, if you guys are reading any really good books that you think we should read, let us know.
Yeah. Oh, also, what we're going to do, because we have not ever met for book club yet. Our first meeting is coming up. And I've never been in a book club, so I don't really know how these things operate. And so I want to take a vote amongst all of our book club members as to how to operate. Like, okay, guys, how are we going to pick the book? Who's going to host, et cetera, et cetera. And so if any of you are in a book club and it's extremely high functioning, if you could send us an email to the lady.
Yes,
love an
your
email.
Operating details.
And honestly, just tell us how it works. That would be great.
If you're a high functioning human in general, just send us an email and tell us how you live. Because we just could always use some tips.
I have a question. Did you guys read all of the books in high school?
No.
Yeah.
I got bored.
New Lo read all of the high school books.
I used to. I loved to and read. Then I was
I
like,
bet Lo took, I bet Lo was it. Were you a great note taker?
You know, honestly, just being in class was enough for me. Just listening, I remember everything.
Damn, girl. Little baby genius over here.
I was smart. UCLA, I just didn't read everything.
You didn't read everything?
No.
What books did you read?
I don't know. To be honest.
Did you read any of them?
I don't think that the actual structure of the public education system is for me.
What do you think about Donald Trump's new Department of
Education? Stop. I can't even talk about Secretary. Her. I can't even talk
I guess today
about
we
her.
Don't even know if she's confirmed, but maybe after the election.
Talk about one of the most unqualified people on planet Earth to run one of the most fragile and important
institutions in America.
Yes.
Oh, I love what you were telling me about how Elizabeth Warren went in hard at her.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Some of the clips of Bernie Sanders talking to some of the people that have been appointed also are really interesting. Like, he was talking to the guy who is going to run the health department, possibly. Something. The EPA. No. Well, I don't know. And he was talking about Americans having access to healthcare. And Bernie Sanders was talking about like how in Canada, you don't have access to it. Like, you just have healthcare.
Yeah, well, that's because
and there's
they
a
have
huge difference between, you know, like, providing people with healthcare and giving people access to have
well,
healthcare.
Well, I mean, so many Americans think that they shouldn't use their tax dollars to pay for other people's problems. That's a huge
the
issue.
The interesting thing yeah. I feel is that now...
Well, I don't want my tax dollars to pay for a wall.
Well, it will, girlfriend.
Like, should we just not pay taxes this year?
The Trump's pick for the for education secretary is this woman by the name of Betsy DeVos. And if
DeVos.
You... Yeah.
DeVos.
I mean, if you watch her Senate hearing on the internet, watch clips of Elizabeth Warren just, like, asking her a billion questions, Al Franken asking her a billion questions, Bernie Sanders, and she's... just so not equipped to do this at all.
The one positive thing is the fact that all of these people are getting questioned, though. You know what I mean? It's not.
Well,
like,
they have to.
They have
but
to.
That's
be.
What I'm saying is, like, it's not, and all this content is available for us to watch and to learn and to educate ourselves and to then take action. You know what I mean?
But it has really nothing to do with us. I mean, you should call your senators and you should definitely, like, petition against them and ask your senators to work hard for you. But at the end of the day, that's what it's so hard, especially with senatorial seats when the majority is Republican or Democrat. It's just, and then the Congress, it's all fucked up.
Yes, but I mean, it's definitely like watching that and seeing that you can see that you do need to take action. You do need to get involved in your communities. 100%. And you need to donate and do all of that. That's what I'm saying is, like, it's great that it's not just that we have someone that's appointing people that we aren't able to, you know, read information and learn about all this stuff and see people going against that. You know what I mean?
Well, we've always had that. And it's just people haven't been so inclined as to get this active because, I mean, now we're in a dire situation.
Yeah.
I mean, now's the time to get that. And that's what I'm trying to say is it's a good that all this information is being watched and being looked at more in depth.
Okay. But it is your responsibility as an individual to educate yourself. And it's not, you know what I mean? Like, just because there's more news on all of this stuff, like, lately, like, yeah, great, because it is going to help educate people about what's going on. But it's your own responsibility to open up a book or type some things into Google. I have a great example of this. I read an article a few days ago about somebody who was so excited that we are going to be repealing Obamacare in this country. And he was on a social network, and so people could respond to him, and you know, they have like the whole conversation. And he was saying, I'm so happy that Obamacare is getting repealed. He's like the worst, blah, 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 blah. You know, thank goodness I'm on the ACA, in parentheses, American Care Act. And, you know,
what?
So like, I'll be fine. And everyone responded to him and said, are you fucking kidding? Like, what are you talking about? And more people responded, and they were like, you don't realize that the ACA and Obamacare are the same thing, and that people in the Republican Party came up with the name Obamacare just to be fucking dicks about it. Like, this asshole didn't even realize that his own insurance is going to be taken away.
Yes, I guess what I'm trying to say is the instead of just saying, like, all the negative things that are happening, there's a positive route that we can all take, and that is to pay more attention, to educate ourselves, and then to take action.
I guess the sad
thing
is...
That's the summary that I'm trying to get at.
I guess the thing that is sad to me, but now it's not sad because it's changing, is that we've always been able to have access to this information. With every president, they've all had to nominate people to be hold different positions in their cabinet. And, you know, you could have watched whoever else get elected for Secretary of Education, for example. But now, since Donald Trump creates such a psychotic media frenzy because he's a clown, people are addicted to watching it. And it's good that people know what's going on and that people see and understand. But also, it's like, yeah, to your point, we have had access to this information.
Yeah, I think
for
C-SPAN
forever.
Has been a channel for a really long time.
For forever.
Yeah, but I think you guys are missing my point. My point is saying, instead of just focusing on all the negative, listen to what's going on, pay attention, and take action.
It is all negative, though.
I really think everyone should just start getting involved. Like, local elections is where you can really make a difference. If the people you elect to hold local offices in your district, and then, you know, even bigger than that, your mayor, et cetera, your governor, so on and so forth, those are the people that slowly climb up the ladder to become congressmen, senators, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. So local elections is very important.
I know that Cory Booker's across the river, but I love Cory Booker.
Me too. He's hot.
I know.
I'm into him.
Guys, what are we going to explore today?
Well, Greta wanted to just update people on her, on her body part. Oh,
yeah. Well, I've been having butt issues.
See, we do talk about buttholes on this show.
This has nothing to do with sex, though. This is honestly just a health issue.
Oh, so it's not a sex. This is a health explore?
Yeah, this is. Well, I mean,
Is that a new section we're going to have?
I've been dealing with butt issues recently where every time I've gone to the bathroom. Okay, so I have suffered from hemorrhoids over the past like 2 years, and I know that they're stress induced a majority of the time that you get them. So I thought that what was happening to me was just like a hemorrhoid because I've been very stressed out recently. But then once the hemorrhoid went away, I would go to the bathroom and blood was just like coming out of me. It wasn't like it was black, like internal bleeding. It was like my butt was like bleeding and it was like red blood. So it turns out.
From your hemorrhoid?
Well, it turns out that what I probably have is anal fissures. And I need to go to a gastroenterologist to get this checked out. And if they're really bad, I might need butt surgery.
Can we get you a donut pillow?
That would be amazing.
Here's the thing, though,
actually
about.
Actually be like, look like a donut?
About butts is they say when you get pregnant and have children that it all just gets crazy down there.
Oh, yeah. When you push.
So
have you ever watched videos of a child
have
being
stuff
born?
Like that? Like if you have that issue to just, and you're planning on having children, to just wait till you have children and then get it taken care of so you don't have to do surgery twice.
But if she's bleeding from the butt.
It's so painful. Like I go to the bathroom and
I'm not a doctor. That was just a loose opinion.
I don't know if I can have children and I'm actually going to get checked to see if I can have children. I don't know if I can. I don't know.
Why?
Why?
Because I think my like lupus is complicated, and I think that I just have a feeling, and I'm scared.
I'll go with you to the doctors, Greta.
Same. I think that that's a common fear.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. 'Cause, I mean, I have thought that to myself also, but there's no reason, you know, why.
Yeah, there's no science backing this up. I'm just like, you know, sometimes you get like weird feelings. It's like that time that I had a dream that I had HIV and then I got tested and I didn't.
Okay.
Did not know about that dream.
I talked about it on this show.
One time I had been sick kind of off and on for a couple weeks, and then I watched that movie with Matthew McConaughey where he has HIV.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I was convinced that I was also ill.
Yep, that happens.
So the main summary for this conversation is don't convince yourself you have anything.
No, convince myself I have all of the maladies all of the time. I am the number one hypochondriac of the world.
Oh yeah, I mean it really, that stuff can haunt you though. Like when
it can give you a lot of anxiety if you don't go to the doctor and get it checked out.
I go to the doctor a lot.
Me too. I go to the doctor once every 3 months. I'm always at the doctor. I love my doctor.
Yeah, but I feel like I go to the doctor for fake things.
Yeah, I have like I like need to be going to the doctor.
Well, like there's a, but you want to know what? I think it's better if you're scared to go get it checked out, because what's the worst thing that happens? You're like, oh, I'm not going to go because I'm making a big deal of nothing, and then it is something. You know.
And,
what
but
I mean?
Yeah, at least you have peace of mind
for sure. So I would always say go to the doctor because it doesn't hurt.
Are you guys doing anything sexually? You guys want to talk about?
I want to talk about, well, it's not sexual.
What is it?
It's about poo.
What about it?
So,
just a side note, guys. These are like my least favorite podcast topics.
Really? I know you don't have to say anything.
So, listeners, I won't be as vocal.
Okay. So, I've been taking some new supplements, a new probiotic, and some magnesium, and turmeric, and like things like that. And like just in the last day or so. Like, I feel like all of the poop inside my body is coming out of me, and it's, like, dark.
Ooh.
And, like, what does that mean? Is my body, like, cleansing itself?
Well, Cassie.
How is this happening?
Cassie, our colonic
Cassie.
Colon specialist.
The lady loving colon specialist.
That when you're getting, like, the real juicy juice gunk out of there, it's dark.
I know, but like, I'm just so curious, like, what about my new supplement regime is causing this to happen?
I bet it's just like popping off.
Do you think it's my probiotic that
I bet it's the combo of the probiotic and the turmeric. Turmeric is like a huge anti-inflammatory.
Is this only happening for a day?
Well, I've been on my new vitamin regime for maybe 8 or 9 days, and I'm feeling great, by the way.
Can you tell me what got you on this new vitamin regime?
Yes, absolutely. So I read a book over the holidays called A Mind of Her Own. It's written by a doctor who is in Manhattan who's practicing. Her name is Dr. Kelly Brogan. And she believes that if you have depression, anxiety, any kind of mental illness, that you can cure yourself through diet alone and through meditation and exercise and sleep and getting enough water. And I read her book and I think it's interesting. She also thinks that vaccines are evil and, you know, like, she'll never take an antibiotic again. And like, if I get hit by a fucking bus and go to the hospital, like, and my leg is like eating itself, they can give me some antibiotics. I don't have a problem with that. But she's a psychiatrist that used to prescribe her patients, you know, like Zoloft and all these medications. And she believes that like your immune system lives in your gut, which is true. 90% of it is. And that makes sense, right? It's the only thing inside your body that has contact with the outside world. You know, like you have your skin and yes. then you have the inside of your stomach and like your intestines. All the things that we encounter in the world pass through that. And so she thinks that if your gut microbes and the bacteria that live there are really, really healthy, that you will be happier and have less anxiety and all of these things.
I fully agree with that.
And I do too. I think it's really, really interesting. And also in her book, she talks about how, like I said, antibiotics can ruin that environment, how things like acid reducers, like Prevacid and all those things can completely ruin the environment. Things like ibuprofen. So there's all of these things that we take all the time, like as Westerners, you know, that your doctor just tells you to do, that apparently like wreak havoc on your microbiome. And, you know, there's been these new studies they talk about like if you have leaky gut, it can like cross the blood-brain barrier and cause inflammation in the brain, and you know that caused depression, all these things. And so, I'm not like all of a sudden 100% like follower of this doctor, but the book was really interesting and it opened my eyes to some alternative types of care that you can look into. And just the point about supplements is really, really interesting, because I used to think that supplements were total bullshit. Like, this is snake oil kind of a thing. Like, you don't need to take supplements if you're eating a healthy diet. You're getting everything that you need. Well, I had some blood work done a couple months ago, and it turns out that I have a severe vitamin B12 and vitamin D deficiency, and you get vitamin D from the sun and from food, and you get B12 like exclusively from food. And so I eat a really healthy diet. So like, obviously I need supplements of some kind. And it was really interesting. I was doing a master's program at Tufts in Nutrition for a period of time. And then I didn't have enough time because my work schedule to finish it. And what we were taught there was that supplements are fucking bullshit. And like, it's just really, really interesting to read information or get information from many sources. Anyway, so I'm taking some of these supplements like turmeric, which is really anti-inflammatory.
I take turmeric.
I'm taking magnesium, which is great for anxiety. It helps you sleep better. I'm taking a really highly rated probiotic to try to like...
Which probiotic is it?
It's by Metagenics. I think it's called Ultraflora... something.
Where do you get it?
I got it on Amazon, but it's by the brand Metagenics.
But so how did you come up with the medicine or the supplements you're taking? Is it through a doctor because you got all this blood work done and you found out what you were deficient of, or are you just following this woman's book?
Sort of a combination. I'm taking things that are recommended by my doctor because of like proven deficiencies that I have. And then other things that are kind of like part of what she suggests and what some other doctors suggest if you're going to kind of approach your health from a more holistic point of view. And so, you know, there's a lot of information out there, it turns out, if you go searching for it. On different things that you can do.
Well, let's get like that author get on the podcast.
Yeah.
And well, see what she has to
I tried to get into her practice and they said no.
Why?
Because she's so busy, apparently. Like, to go see Dr. Brogan, you have to fill out an application. And so I filled out an application. And
they said no. They said like getting no. Into college?
Yeah, oh they said God. No. They said, sorry, no.
Could you take a test to get like a higher grade?
What did you need to say in the application? Like,
Was like, are you aware of Dr. Brogan's stance on, you know, things like antibiotics and vaccines and all of this stuff? Like, have you read her book? Like, are you willing to like totally subscribe to the plan that she gives you and all this stuff? And like, I was really open. I was like, yeah, I'm willing to try anything to, you know, for my health to like feel great. You know, there were some things, like I said, like if I get hit by a bus and, you know, my leg is eating itself, like I would like some antibiotics. And like, first, if she is not willing to be my doctor because I said that, then fine. But yeah, I was denied.
The thing about your story of getting hit by the bus and having your leg eat itself, I really want to know how that would happen. Like, I know that like, the leg like, could fall off, like, but like, what do you mean the leg would...
staph infection.
So that's what you mean. You mean getting hit by a bus and then getting a staph infection.
Yeah, you like develop like a bacterial infection, like where your wound like
gangrene
is.
Gangrene or something.
So that's what you're talking. Okay, yeah. I needed some clarification there.
Yeah, yeah.
I have such a complicated relationship with medicine. When I first got really sick with my lupus, I was like, I want to cure this fully holistically.
Yeah.
I don't want to go on medication. I don't want to take everything. I don't want to be on something every day. But my flare was so bad that I had to do something. Mm-hmm. It was like ruining my life.
Yeah. I think that there's definitely a place for Western medicine. Like,
I don't totally buy into this.
I just like, I don't have enough information and like knowledge to like make final judgments on it. I don't think anybody does.
I do believe that if my life and my lifestyle were calmer, like if I just wanted to, you know, make quilts on like a farm in Utah or something, I'm sure I could meditate my way to health. And like really devote my life to curing myself mentally. I think I could do that. I just think that my lifestyle doesn't make way for that. Like my lifestyle is too inconsistent and therefore stressful.
I don't like meditating.
I love meditating.
I love meditating. Oh
my God. I'm like down to take a nap. It's a new thing I started this year. And I also like will take a yoga class on occasion, but like to actually sit there and meditate is just not something that goes well with me.
You should try. There's an app called Headspace. It's guided meditation and it's really easy and really nice. And you should try it. I learned how to do TM, transcendental meditation.
Yeah.
And it feels difficult for me sometimes. I think like for you, I think for a lot of people that do TM,
it's hard to just like get into that meditative like, yeah, space.
And they tell you you should do it 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes in the evening. It's hard to like genuinely
it's also
sit
a
down
time
and,
commitment
and do that.
Like I gotta exercise, I gotta like right. work, I gotta, you know what I mean, there's so many things I've got to make dinner,
but yeah. Your life in doing all those other things will be better from taking the time to meditate.
Yeah. And so the Headspace app is a good sort of alternative that I've found that allows me to do it in, I think, not necessarily more time effective way, but way that
more approachable.
Yeah. Cause it's guided and it's just easier. And I have to say, like, after I meditate for a couple days, I am a totally different human. It is
really
remarkable. Yeah. Absolutely.
When I actually devote time to meditating, I also feel so much better.
Yeah, your brain just feels calm on like a different level. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Sometimes anyway. I feel that way when I have a glass of red wine. Mm.
Well, that's good too.
Yeah. You do both.
True. I can meditate while having a glass of red
wine.
Imagine
how you would feel if you meditated once in the morning, once at night, and then had a glass of wine. You feel great.
Life changing.
Seriously. It would be major.
Cool.
Who's our lady loving this week, ladies?
Damn.
Michelle Obama.
I feel like Michelle Obama is just my forever lady love.
She's mine too. She's Same. My lady loving every week.
We should just totally dedicate our show to Michelle.
We love you, Michelle.
And Sasha and Malia. Those two girls are so sweet. And I love those ladies.
Yeah.
And they're going to have a hard road ahead.
You think?
I think it's difficult. They're so young, you know? They're so young and they're going to have to go to college and make all these decisions and become adults and have your those parents, have Michelle and Barack Obama as your parents to live. I mean, not like they're living in a shadow, but I think that that's a tough situation, like a tough spot for anyone to be in.
Jenna Bush was on my flight from LA to New York when I came home from the holidays. She sat next to me or like across the aisle from me. And when she landed in New York, she didn't have any security detail. I was surprised by that.
Interesting.
Like, well, I think how long only do you have a security detail well, for?
You have it, like you as the president have it for life, mm-hmm. but that doesn't apply to your children.
So like Malia and Sasha are just like SOL starting tomorrow?
No.
But starting tomorrow, it's like free for all? No.
But all presidents have Secret Service for life.
Right. I knew that. But I just kind of assumed that their whole family would have, I don't know, like one person at least.
I'm
like,
sure that
out.
Like,
I imagine like it doesn't end immediately. It probably fades away as they like fade out of the spotlight.
If anybody knows the answer to this question,
let us know.
Send us an email.
I know that like for the Obamas like finishing high school, they're probably not going to have like Secret Service in the classroom with them anymore. You know?
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
All right. Well, Michelle is our lady loving this week.
We love you, Michelle. Thanks for standing up for women's rights and teaching us how to be strong leaders.
We love you.
We love you.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening to the show. Hit the subscribe button and tune in next week with us. We post new episodes every Monday.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.